Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Money Talking from WNYC. I'm Charlie Herman. I'm joined today by WNYC contributor Rana Faruhar with Time Magazine and Bob Linsner with Forbes. Iraq is in turmoil, and doubts are really growing about the long-term stability of the nation. And as that country is breaking apart along ethnic and religious lines, it's also raising the specter of soaring oil prices. Iraq is OPEC's second biggest producer after Saudi Arabia, and it pumps about 3 million barrels a day. It's also been expected to provide the majority of growth for the cartel in the years ahead. So, Rana, are we at the point where the fighting in Iraq is really beginning to push up oil prices?
Well, we've seen a little bit of an increase, but it hasn't been the kind of huge increase that you typically see when there's a big Middle Eastern conflict. So oil prices run on fear. That's a big factor. Whenever there's any kind of a conflict in an oil-producing zone, you see as much as a 30% spike. You saw that during the Iraq War, during the Iranian Revolution, any number of points in history. You haven't seen that yet, in part because the conflict has been mainly in the north of the country. That's where the refinery has been attacked. But that's mostly, that area produces mostly for the Iraqi market, in particular for domestic consumption. Most of the exports are done from the south. And that zone so far is conflict-free. Now, I think if you see conflict moving south, and in particular if you see more Western companies start to pull out some of their people, as Exxon and BP have done, that's when you start to get more worried, because that could start slowing down the ability of the Iraqis to keep the oil production up and potentially create a supply disruption.
Bob, picking up on what Ron is saying there, I mean, when do we start worrying if this is actually going to have an effect on gas prices, oil prices?
Well, I personally am very worried about it now, because who knows with Syria and with Iraq and problems in Jordan and all through the Middle East, how it could get out of control. So I don't see that there will be this enormous spike right away as there was earlier in 2008, but I think we really have to be worried about it. And I think that it does bring home again the question about us being dependent on Middle Eastern oil.
And that's an interesting point, because actually gasoline prices are higher right now than they should be at this time of year. Generally, they drop a little bit after Memorial Day. But one of the reasons that they're high is that U.S. demand is increasing, in part because of a more robust economy. But also there are some repairs going on various refineries in the south, in part because we are trying to up our production. This is all part of the energy independence that the Obama administration keeps pushing. So definitely this is on people's radar.
So, Bob, if these prices are going up, if they're up like they are right now, does that end up influencing U.S. policy towards gas production, oil production here in this country, or is it sort of another thing that we kind of muddle through?
I don't think we've got a policy about that. I think what it does influence is, on the margins, it dampens economic growth, because the higher the price of crude oil, and crude oil is used by many industries like plastics and chemicals, all and airlines, you know, it means that the profit margins get squeezed to some extent. So the higher oil goes, the greater the squeeze, the less the profits, the impact on the stock market possibly down the road.
And on the global economy, every $10 increase in the barrel of crude shaves about a half a percentage point off of global economic growth.
So, Bob, how have oil stocks been doing?
Oil stocks are going to trade according to what the price of oil is. So if the price of oil went up, oil stocks are going to follow it. That's basically a law of nature. So the price of crude oil has been creeping up, and so have the price of many oil-producing stocks.
There seems to be, though, conflicting information coming out of the region and even conflicting news reports, where you can have one headline, and this is a direct quote, turmoil in Iraq is pushing up U.S. gasoline prices, and then another one saying why the oil market is shrugging off Iraq for now. So where does an average consumer, an average American, when they see what's happening there and trying to understand from an economic point of view, at least here in this country, how it affects what's going on?
If they were smart, they'd look at that as noise.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
And not the real thing. And I think it's going to be hard for us to really know what's going on the ground there. And I'm worried that he has to send 300.
He being the president.
Yeah, the president of the United States has to send, thinks that that will be some kind of short-term solution to solidify the government of Iraq. I think it just shows how big a risk we're facing here and that it could lead to other steps that have to be taken.
I think there's no question, actually, that you're going to see, you know, medium price increases over the next 3 months. And that always happens whenever you have any kind of conflict in the Middle East because, you know, oil is, as I said earlier, runs on fear. You know, there's just an incredible fear,
so even
fear
if the
risk
US,
premium in
so
the market.
So even though we're producing more here in the U.S.,
yeah,
it
that's
still
what
has
I'm saying.
An effect.
You can literally look at the numbers, and during any major crisis point in the Middle East, even if there were no facts on the ground that changed the supply picture, even if there was just as much supply as there was before, you will always see a spike in oil prices. Now, if there is a real supply disruption in Iraq, then I agree with Bob. That's a very big deal for the markets and for the economy.
There's also actually been disruptions in Nigeria where people have broken into the pipelines. I don't know what the status of the thing in the Libyan oil fields is right now, but...
That's a great point. It actually underscores also that, you know, so much of the oil at the margins right now, you know, Nigerian, West African oil, Nigerian oil, Iraqi oil, the oil that was supposed to really bolster the global supply picture beyond OPEC is at risk.
Well, let's take a moment to look at some of the other stories that we're watching. Rana, what are you paying attention to?
So I am wondering if companies can have a conscience, and that's what's going to be up for grabs in a Supreme Court ruling next week in the case of Sebelius versus Hobby Lobby stores. Hobby Lobby is a chain of craft stores, Oklahoma-based, city-based chain, and they have a certain religious bent in their management, and they don't want to offer coverage of birth control under their company health plan, and they're going to be, they've been arguing, and we're going to get a ruling as to whether or not they'll be made to do that, and it'll have a wide-ranging impact, I think, for a lot of corporations.
Bob, what are you paying attention to?
I'm watching the end of the Fed buying up bonds and mortgages, which in effect has stimulated the stock market and driven stock prices higher since 2009. So that's going to be over in about 3 months at the rate we're going, and that will be a key signal as to whether the stock market advance is going to slow down and stop, and maybe we'll have some kind of a slower market advance in the future.
Well, we'll be watching those stories and all the week's financial news at WNYC.org. And remember, you can take this program with you as a podcast available on iTunes. Bob Linsner with Forbes and Rana Fruhar with Time Magazine, thanks so much for joining.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Charlie Herman. This is Money Talking from WNYC.